Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
The wildfires in Los Angeles. We know they've killed at least 10 people and forecasters are warning more high winds may fan the flames further. More than 10,000 structures have been destroyed. At least 180,000 residents ordered to evacuate in California as those fast-moving wildfires burned around LA, encircling the cities. What the city, rather. Chris Christie is a helicopter reporter with ABC7 LA and he joins me on the line now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you very much for being with us. I know you've been extremely busy. You've been watching these fires spreading from the sky over the past few days and reporting on it. So it's really useful for us to get your view, your opinion, your eyewitness account as to what's going on right now.
Well, it's been a long 48 hours for really the whole city of Los Angeles, and it just seems like these fires keep popping up. Right now, there are two main active fires, the Palisades Fire and the Eaton Fire, which is eating up the hills above Pasadena. The Palisades Fire is smoldering and kind of drifting into the mountains, but the footprint of the Pacific Palisades appears to be clear of active flames now, but the loss is just so tremendous. It's hard to put into words, honestly. I've been doing this for about 20 years, and I've got to be honest, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, you're probably one of the few who've had this bird's eye view of the devastation. I mean, it's unlikely that people who are on the ground dealing with this understand just how widespread this has been.
Yeah, you know, we experienced the storm on Tuesday night. It was a windstorm, and it really was terrifying. And for the folks that lived in the mountains and lived in the hills, it felt like an actual hurricane. But for the last, you know, in the hours following, it has been so smoky everywhere across the entire city of Los Angeles. There is just such a thick blanket of smoke. And just in the last, I would say, in the last 12 to 18 hours, that smoke is starting to drift, and we're really getting our first glimpse from the helicopter of the scope of the damage. And, you know, it was compared earlier today to me to about the size of Manhattan. It's actually bigger than the size of Manhattan, and the population density down there is enormous. I mean, there's just so many houses. Upwards of 4,000 to 5,000 structures have been lost. And if you look at that area from the helicopter, it really does look like a war zone.
Now, you mentioned the Palisades Fire, which from your description seems to almost have burnt itself out or is heading towards the mountains. The Eaton Fire is still a concern. What about this Kenneth Fire, which I understand is the latest one?
Yeah, so I was over the Kenneth Fire earlier today, and it was a really good example of just how fast these fires can spread. And even though the winds have tapered off for most of last night and today, they started to pick back up this afternoon, and apparently there is an arson suspect in custody. This person apparently started a fire in the West Hills area of Los Angeles, which is in the San Fernando Valley, and within minutes, this fire spread from a spark to a 5 to 10 acre fire. And within a half an hour, that 5 to 10 acre fire had easily burnt about 200 to 300 acres and was completely driven by the wind. These Santa Ana winds that we experience in Los Angeles that are so unique to Los Angeles came ripping through, and you could see the wind driving the fire and driving the smoke into Calabasas, which is a beautiful part of Los Angeles with many large homes, a lot of celebrities living Calabasas because it's just so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And this fire made a beeline for several of those beautiful neighborhoods, including Hidden Hills, the Malibu Canyon area, and the Upper Las Virgenes area. And thankfully, by the grace of God, the winds started to shift and actually steered the fire slightly in a different direction, but just enough to spare those neighborhoods. That in combination with a tremendous firefighting effort. There were so many fire trucks on the ground engaged in structure protection. They were dropping water from helicopters. It was really, really effective. And just about an hour ago, we were over there and that fire is smoldering. It's not quite out yet, but there are no structures threatened. And thankfully, I think we can breathe a bit easier in terms of the Kenneth Fire. But I've got to say, two nights ago when the storm was really kicking up and the winds were really ripping, there was another fire in the San Fernando Valley called the Hearst Fire in the hills above Sylmar, which is also in the valley. And I did drive up there to try and get an up-close glimpse. And it was a really eye-opening experience for me because as the fire was breaking out, I, for the first time ever, was able to experience the pandemonium that sets in when people are literally running for their lives. They're packing their bags, they're packing their belongings with their essentials, and just being in the midst of that as the smoke was just blanketing the area. It's a really surreal scene when these fires break out and you see up close the frightening nature on the ground. People are just so desperate to get out. The traffic jams build up instantly, and it's pure chaos, really. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned there the helicopters dumping water from the sky, and we've had a description of this on the program. So they're taking water, are they, from the ocean, flying over and dropping it onto the fires in a desperate attempt to stop them.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. We have two airplanes that the County of Los Angeles leases from Canada, and they spend much of the fire season in Los Angeles. And those two airplanes are two of the many tankers that have been dropping water on the fire. These two tankers are special because they can go right over the ocean. They're amphibious. Fixed-wing airplanes that can go low level, dip into the ocean, and scoop up 1,600 gallons of water at a time. And they can do it in about 5 minutes. They could scoop up the water, go back to the fire, drop the water, and then go back into the ocean, pick up more water. And they do it repeatedly, over and over and over. We say they bomb the fire mm-hmm. with water. Unfortunately, this morning, one of those aircraft was actually struck by a drone, and that brought the entire firefight to a halt because there was a drone in the area. The drone struck the airplane. It damaged the leading edge of the left wing of the airplane. It could have been so much worse. It really could have caused a real tragedy, quite frankly. Fortunately, that plane was able to land safely at the airport without anybody getting injured. It did bring a complete stop to the firefight temporarily. But now one of those two planes is now grounded. So now tomorrow morning, there will only be one Super Scooper fighting the fire. And our FBI is now investigating who owned the drone. But it's a dangerous thing. And I'm sure even some of your listeners have probably been on social media in the last 24 hours and seen some of those really up-close drone videos of the aftermath of the fire, but those drone operators are operating illegally, and it's really, really dangerous to operate a drone in the fire zone. It's really causing a lot of problems because whenever they see a drone, they have to stop fighting the fire.
It's just so unfortunate that that plane has been taken out of commission because, as I understand it, it is one of very few effective measures left available to the fire service to deal with fires that are this large. And I'm sure you would understand that better than most. Can I ask as well about your own work in the helicopter? How careful do you have to be when you're trying to get these shots of the fire? I assume it's very dangerous work, is it?
It can be. I mean, there's inherent risk with it, but it's very safe overall in general. I mean, we take all the precautions. It is a little bit tricky during times like this because we're flying through the smoke. Sometimes, usually we're trying to fly around the smoke to get the best picture and bring those pictures into viewers' living rooms. But, you know, we also have to contend with the flight restrictions, which are the same flight restrictions that apply to drones as well, where we can't get too close to the actual firefighting aircraft. So we have to stay very high above the fire and stay within or stay around the perimeter. There's usually like a 10-mile perimeter that we have to stay outside of. So we're shooting. Many times we're shooting the fire from a fairly far distance, but our cameras are very powerful and can really zoom in and get close-up shots of the fire and the destruction and the firefighting efforts. But it's a tricky business. We do it very safely, and our pilots are real pros.
Well, Chris, it's been great to talk to you, and I really appreciate, as you say, after a very busy 48 hours, that you've taken the time and you have the energy to tell us about it. That's Chris Christie from ABC 7LA. Well, shortly before coming on air, I spoke to Marion McKeown, US correspondent with the Business Post, who's based in LA. I started by asking Marion about the wind conditions there.
The problem, once again, Claire, is the winds. It's these Santa Ana winds that are coming in from the east, these treacherous desert winds. They had died down a lot earlier today and yesterday night, which gave the firefighters a fighting chance, but it also meant that critically they could get those big super scooper planes up in the air, which just dip into the Pacific Ocean and then drop massive amounts of water, because the conventional firefighting methods, the fire trucks and all that, they just haven't a hope. They cannot do it, no matter how many thousand firemen you have. But one thing, and you referenced it there, that is interesting is in LA there are about 30 what are called fire camps. These are prisons where the prisoners are trained in firefighting methods, and when fires happen, they are released in numbers, under supervision of course, to help to do the really backbreaking work. And the backbreaking work is digging these ridges in the mountains in this really dry, arid, very, very dangerous and fiercely hot and smoky areas, where they try and break the line of fire. So they dig in, they have these, it's like something from the 17th century. Honestly, I saw some of them earlier, these hoes, like just big wooden sticks with a hoe on the end of them, a little, you know, 4-inch sort of sharp blade. And they dig in and they make these ridges and they hope that that'll block the fire. They get paid $29 for 24-hour shifts, or $5 a day if they do shorter shifts. But they are actually making an impact in containing and helping to contain the fires. And as we say, there is a lot of concern about the winds later tonight. We're in the early hours here now, but that they may pick up again. And then they're hoping that the winds may die down over the weekend, but there's real concern that next Tuesday, another major wind event, as they call it, may be likely to start, and that could bring a whole new set of problems.
Are we saying that none of these fires are under control? Are we heading into the weekend in a sort of a desperate situation where if these winds continue to whip up, this is just going to continue?
Pretty much the only thing, and it's really cold comfort for the people in Pacific Palisades. I spoke with a fire chief earlier today. There have been a number of press conferences, and they're really keeping the media informed, I have to say. And he seemed to indicate that the reason that the Palisades fire has burnt out is that there's almost nothing left to burn. Mm-hmm. That they're really, and this was what I saw when I went there, and we spoke about it yesterday. My God, the devastation. I've really never seen anything like it. So literally everything in Pacific Palisades is burnt out right down to the beach. We saw the Malibu, all those houses along Malibu Beach, Carbon Beach, all along there, all burnt as well. So it reaches a point where it akin to bombing rubble, and I don't want to use that metaphor, but where there's nothing to burn, that it's just charred and smoke. And they some people were being allowed back in small numbers to their homes, but there are quite strict curfews in places now. And the cost of all of this, of course, is going to be absolutely astronomical. Mercifully, the human cost so far, although 10 people we know are dead for sure, has been relatively low given the scale of the disaster, but it is expected to rise.
And are people still in the evacuation centres, and how is all of that being managed?
Yeah, people are in hotels. They're staying with friends. We all have friends staying with us to some degree. About another 200,000 people are under evacuation orders. About 180,000 have been evacuated. There are evacuation centres. There's a massive community effort going on here. People are bagging up bags of food to go for people. They're donating clothes. They're donating places for people to stay. I have to say that there's a lot of very positive aspects to how this is being handled. But there's also a very large amount of anger. There's a lot of misinformation about water shortages. There's a belief that everybody I've spoken to who seems to be an expert, and everybody who's spoken at the press conferences says that this fire was such a force of nature that it wouldn't have mattered how many firemen you had in the ground and how much water. This was literally just it was like a giant flamethrower that just shot across Los Angeles County, and that really that the level of damage because of the winds was it would have been impossible to have contained anyway.
Marion, thanks very much for that latest update. Marion McKeown there, US correspondent with the Business Post. Well, I also spoke to Darren Kennedy, Irish TV host, who's currently in Los Angeles working, and I started by asking what it's been like for him over the last few days.
Claire, it's been very eerie, I have to say. It's like something I've never experienced before. As you can imagine, you know, I'm in West Hollywood, which is pretty central geographically to LA, and it's right now kind of surrounded by a lot of devastation. The other night when the fires broke out up in the Palisades, and from where I am, it's kind of like, imagine you're standing at the GPO in Dublin, and as the crow flies, you go to Malahide. It's about that distance. So we're saying probably 12 to 15 kilometers. And I went to the top of the building here and I looked out and looked to the north of where I am. And the sky was red. And honestly, there were flames that were just so incredibly big and red and whipping up in this wind that it was kind of incredible. And unbelievable to watch at the same time. You kind of, you know, I couldn't really compute. It was kind of like you were looking at a screen.
Yeah.
And that was very, very concerning, naturally. And then the billowing smoke, which at one stage during the day kind of eclipsed the sun. It was like, you know, the sky was covered in cloud, but it was a cloud of smoke. And that still felt, while it was still close, it was still in the distance, so to speak. And then that afternoon, everything changed when the Sunset fire broke out, which is in the Hollywood Hills near the Hollywood sign that people would know. And that's probably 1 to 2 kilometers away from me. And an evacuation warning or notice was issued. Now, I was one block outside of that, but you could kind of sense, you know, people started to, I'm not going to say panic, but it was on the edge of panic, and a lot of people were in the cars, and then traffic built up, and then, you know, you were in your car and you couldn't move. The flames were getting bigger, but thankfully that came under control quite quickly. But friends of mine actually live up that canyon, and they were very lucky that their house survived it just by virtue of the fact that the wind was blowing in the other direction.
Darren, we've been hearing about the community effort, everyone coming together. Most people whose apartments are still standing have somebody staying with them who've been told to leave where they live. People are coming together, offering food, offering clothing. Have you seen any of that?
Yeah, I had friends of mine staying in my place last night because they had to evacuate. But there's a lot of that, you know, and I think it's nice to see, because people talk about LA as this sprawling suburban city, which it is in many respects, but it's the communities, I feel, in many of these areas, they're communities, you know, and sometimes people say there's a lack of community in LA, but it's at times like this where you see people really coming together.
Darren, thank you very much for speaking to us today. That's Darren Kennedy, who is in LA at the moment for work.